Ego. It is the self, especially as a distinct form or entity other than in the world. The part of you that defines itself as a personality. It separates itself from the outside world and considers itself a separate entity from the rest of nature and the cosmos. And perhaps that was necessary for survival, millennia ago. Some bygone era, but what is its place in our modern society? The ego operates based on what you would call the reality principle, which works to satisfy your desires in a manner that is realistic and socially appropriate. For example, if a person cuts you off in traffic, the ego prevents you from chasing down the car and physically attacking the offending driver. Well, maybe the ego is going to make you attack. I take that back. The ego allows us to see that this response would be socially unacceptable, but it also allows us to know that there are other more appropriate means of venting our frustration. So, in this world, on my show, where we're always talking about expansion, right? Do we need ego? If we are expanding spiritually, really, where does all of this fit in? And that's the question I pose today. So, hello and welcome in once again to Affirmations for Living. Of course, I am your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige, and today we will be examining ego and how it fits into our awakening process because it really does have a place. And it's not about letting go of the ego, but it's about finding a balance because everything is always the balance of both the masculine and the feminine, right? Within each and every one of us, the balance of work and play, the balance of sleep and being awake. Everything has its place. And so ego definitely has its place as well. And so my guests are a husband and wife team, and I guess they've found their balance, if we're speaking about balance. And we have Reverend Dr. Linda Martin, and we have Dr. Nick Martin. Together, they have more than, goodness gracious, 30 years or more with wisdom and knowledge that they're going to share with us today. So I invite you to call in. The number is 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815. But first, I want to remind you of my website, Affirmations for Living. And of course, you know it's all about affirming a positive way of living. That is your birthright to live with passion and purpose and to prosper, regardless of what illusion you are trapped in and you think is your reality. It is not your reality, and you actually have within you the divine right to prosper. There are tools you need to implement, right, so that you can begin to take control of your life if it's spiraling downward, so that you can really begin to create the life that you want. So imagine that right now in this very moment that you can gain the confidence and the courage to do just that. I offer many tools and services to assist you on your journey. We have an affirmations group, and there are about 13 different affirmation categories that you can choose from. There are guided meditations and even downloadable MP3 lessons from my master series. You even have an opportunity to connect with me one-on-one and do spiritual life coaching. So whatever it is that you're wanting in your life, whether it be health, wealth, happiness, joy, soul purpose, you name it, you can find it on my site. That's affirmationsforliving.net. Also, if you have not already signed up for my app, Awakened, and that's Awakened, I invite you to do so. The app is free, and every Monday you will receive free affirmations on your app so that you can really begin to empower yourself and go ahead and change, the verbiage that you have with yourself. And when we can begin to change that and reprogram ourselves, we can begin to create the life that we want. So I would invite you to download the app Awakened. It's both on iPhone and Android, and start receiving those affirmations every Monday. So with that, we're going to bring them on and let's have a good show. Hello, everyone. We are back, and once again, you are listening to Affirmations for Living, and I am your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige. It gives me great pleasure to bring my guest on today. We have also Reverend Dr. Linda Martin and Dr. Nick Martin. Hi, guys. Welcome in.
Hi, Edvige. Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. So now this is really exciting because, you know, in all of this spiritual talk that we have, everyone has their own ideas of ego, what it is, what it doesn't serve, how we have to transmute it and all those things. So this is really exciting to bring you on today. So before we get too deep into that, share a little bit about your background, because 30 years or more doing this work is quite substantial. So if you would each individually, give us a little background about who you are and how you came to create this work.
Well, I guess I'll begin because my work began roughly 30-some years ago. I'm a psychologist in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And during the time of my 30 years, I've been working in a mental health clinic, doing mental health counseling and psychotherapy, as well as doing psychological evaluations. Also had a chance I've been teaching at California University of Pennsylvania since 1985, mm-hmm. and have taught lots of different psychology classes along the way, both on the graduate and undergraduate level, and also have served as a consultant with the Pennsylvania's Office of Vocational Rehabilitation. And over the years that I've had a chance to work, the one thing that I started to emerge in my own thinking about what was happening with many individuals in terms of their lives had to do with what the ego was doing in their lives and how it was impacting them in places like conflict and adversity and change and achievement and so on. And as Lynn and I were talking about this earlier, I think the ego found me over time through the messages that I was receiving through these different individuals I've worked with. Mm-hmm. A very diverse message about what ego really is that we talked about in the first book that I wrote called The Ego Unmasked, Meeting the Greatest Challenge of Your Life. And since probably around 10 years ago or after, Linda and I have been working more directly together, and I've been hearing more of what she has to say about spirituality and the voice of spirit speaking, and it sort of came to my own way of thinking that there needs to be some sort of integration of those two different powerful entities, energies that are at work in a person's life in order to become and live the best version of ourselves.
Absolutely. Okay, so Linda, if you want to share a little bit about who you are.
Sure. I always was more on the spiritual path and mm-hmm. always could hear the voice of spirit guiding me. Okay. Although I had to go through my own healing process, and a lot of that had to do with bringing my own ego into a place of balance and, you know, well-being within myself. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's something everybody, I think, needs to do to get to that place where they can allow the emergence of our humanity and our divinity to come together.
Absolutely. It's so important, yeah.
Right. And when Nick was working on the first book that he said, it took him a while to do that. And I wasn't real involved with it at first, you know, doing my own thing, kind of. Once that was completed, we saw the need for the understanding of the wholeness of people, of bringing that ego and spirit together. Mm-hmm. And, I have a spiritual healing ministry. So I work a lot I see the ego at work, you know, with clients as we do spiritual counseling, spiritual healing sessions. And the ego pops up a lot because the ego tends to, people live through the ego without even knowing it, which we call ego unconsciousness. And, when they start to become aware of it and how it's talking to them, then they can, get a better idea, a better handle on how to begin to teach their own ego. So I learned a lot through Nick, about the ego mm-hmm. and how, how I could see it working with my own clients and people that I knew and even myself. So I, as getting back to me, I'm in a healing ministry and I am a doctor of metaphysics and an ordained minister. And so, a lot of this work that I do has been something that's developed over time.
Absolutely. And just a point to add to ego, it's so very interesting because, ego, when it's, not balanced with spirituality. It has it gives us a false sense of who we are. It sort of takes on its own identity. And a lot of times that can be trapped by the programming, by the media, by all of these outside things. And that doesn't really give us a true sense of who we are. But when we can find and put it in its happy little home and balance, then the true self becomes revealed and we can really start to create and be our true authentic self. So it's really dynamic how you found a way to, to really hone in on that. So now, why did you write this book? Because, okay, Nick, you wrote the first book, Ego. What caused you to write the second book? And then why did you collaborate and bring it together?
Well, I think the first book is a very long book, and it's about 758 pages. Probably aggressive attempt to really try to. It was a 14-year project, and it certainly wasn't written for commercial means. It was mainly written in order to really delve very deeply into what ego truly is, because one of the things I felt I was hearing is that we were missing a lot by thinking of ego mainly in terms of the amount of power, influence, decision, choice that people will either have or not have in their life. When I hear people talk about ego, that's a lot of what I'm hearing them refer to it as. And as we developed in the first book, or the one I wrote, and then this most recent one, Ego and Spirituality, The Consciousness of Ego, Spiritualism, there was a need to really bring it down to a size that perhaps is more manageable for laypersons to process it and understand it, as well as to more heavily integrate the spiritual side of the discussion in conjunction with what I would call the human side of the discussion.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, in your practice then, how was ego affecting people in a negative way? You're saying that they blamed their ego for their miscreation? I mean, what exactly were you finding?
In my case, I think what I began to sense is the ego would be out of balance, but in different ways for different people. For example, for people with higher ego power in a relationship, they may often tend to dominate, control, want to make choices, have difficulty with compromise, be unwilling to create. And so the essence of their egoic energy was leading them in the direction to handle things like the relationship with their spouse or partner or other relationships like parenting in ways that really accented the need for control, and they had a difficult time letting go of it. They didn't know how to let go of it, and they often really didn't know that ego was really the problem or a bigger problem than they realized in the situation. Other people may have a lot of ego vulnerability where they're living a life of fear. They're stressed out constantly. They're constantly dissatisfied with who they are. They doubt themselves a lot. They may be high maintenance in relationships. They always need their partner's affirmation or support in ways that aren't often necessary. And I could go on for literally hours in talking about different, in a way, roles that people assume. For example, in this most recent book and the forthcoming book, we talk about people who are racist, people who are perfectionists, people who are dictators, and also these different kinds of energies for different people at different distances from a healthy sense of balance that make it problematic to live in their lives in what we call the 10 key life areas, as well as to connect very healthily with regard to their spirituality. One example we talk about is people with lower ego flexibility who have their ego energy is very rigid, very inflexible, and a lot of times they take a very dogmatic view on things like God, and they believe they own, and they know the truth about God, and nobody else knows that truth, and they must be converted to their truth. And sometimes if people get very heavily into religiosity, they are distancing themselves from spirituality. They're closing themselves off from the diverse energies that we believe God really is, represents and is existent across all people throughout the world.
And so ego has a role in all of that.
Yes, it does. It's a very powerful, we call it the core essence of our humanity. It's sort of, we make a distinction between what we would call the ego, which is the energy, the human energy at work, that works through the workshop of our mind. Our mind is that place where the thoughts and beliefs and prejudices and illusions and everything else that we carry with us in our thinking, in our ways of working with the world, our ego shapes that. And that shaping process, beside affecting the way we think and the kind of thinking we use often, which is non-reality based, away from balance, also has an impact on our physiology. It affects our feelings. It affects our behaviors. It's very profound. And then the other side of that, once the ego's gotten done working with our mind and fashioning it due to the nature of its energy, we have a self, an ego self, if you will, that is really sort of the outcome of that. And sometimes the ego self is a very unhealthy ego self, represented by those kinds of terms that I mentioned earlier, the perfectionist, the racist, the paranoid, the sociopath, and so on.
That's just amazing. And so as we begin this spiritual journey, then even those who, you know, want to say, well, how can God be in me? And I'm not worthy of having these spiritual gifts. And, you know, all of these things, then it's really their ego that's controlling and making them think and feel this way.
Right. Exactly. It's, you know, when the ego is out of balance, when we're living unconsciously through the ego, there's a lot of fear involved there. And so, you know, we basically have fear or love. We can make the choice to move through. And when you're living through an unconscious ego, it's going to bring through a lot of fear-based thoughts and ideas. And, you know, the ego, being the entity that it is, feels that it's necessary to protect us, help us to survive by being afraid of certain things. And, I mean, if you think about it, you know, for our evolutionary process, you know, quite a while ago, fear was necessary in some ways.
True.
You know, for survival. But now, where we are now, we have to work with the ego to teach it and to help it to become a driving force in our life and not a force that hinders us and keeps us down, because the truth is we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Exactly.
Building on what Linda just said, we talk about two voices, the voice of our ego and the voice of our spirit. And the more our ego is getting away from being in balance, the louder that egoic voice is speaking in our lives. Now, we may not understand what that means. I mean, it's not an auditory voice, it's an intuitive voice, but it's being reflected in our life, and we call them life mirrors, where you can see it in the relationships if you want to see it, if you want to look at it. And that voice is very, very loud. And the louder it is and the more imbalanced we are, egoically speaking, whether it's the power or the flexibility or the vulnerability, the harder it makes it to hear our spiritual voice.
Absolutely.
And what's going on with that? And just going back further from what you said earlier, we talk about going from you with a small y to you with a large y. And what's going on is that's the transformation process at work when we begin to understand what our ego is, we begin to work with it and manage it through what we call mental medicine, and then we begin to quell the egoic voice so that the spiritual voice becomes, we can hear it. It's already there wanting, kind of speaking to us. We're just not hearing it very well. But once we move the ego out of the way in the way we specifically need to move it out of the way, then the voice comes to us. It's always there. We don't need to find it. It's seeking us.
Exactly. But you have to be tuned in.
Right.
Absolutely. So, okay, now you have this term ego spiritualism. What exactly does that mean?
Yes, it's a term that we developed in the writing of this book. We began using it over 5 years ago, and it's shaped by our own professional and personal experiences that we can, you know, we all have the potential to experience a healthy, balanced ego, which will complement our divinity. So it's the bringing the two together, ego spiritualism. It's the consciousness that reflects the emergence and the synergy of our humanity and our divinity, rather than separating them or polarizing them.
I think one of the key differences between perhaps what a lot of other people have said, brilliant writers on the topic of spiritual consciousness, is that we need to sort of defeat, disown, dissolve our ego in order to be healthier. And Bert saying that we don't know that that really needs to occur. We don't think it really happens for the vast majority of people. What they need to do is work more on bringing the ego into balance. They don't have to defeat it, disown it, or change it.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, absolutely. There needs to be a balance, and there's a balance with everything. You know, I was saying that earlier before you came on. I mean, we have to balance both the masculine and the feminine within ourselves. And so, you know, there's all of these things taking place as we expand on that path. And ego is just one more of those things that we have to find its happy medium where everything can be in harmony. And then we have the totality of our God self.
Exactly.
So
right.
Very, very interesting.
I think many people may have an intellectual grasp of that, but they often have a difficult time of taking that from some sort of an intellectual level into an experiential level. You know, they have intellectual insight, but they can't translate it into experiential insight in a way that allows them to really live it.
And I think a large part of that is because what you mentioned earlier, Avij, that people feel this unworthiness. You know, they feel that they are separate. They think they are here walking their path, you know, on earth alone. And, you know, because we've developed this idea of separateness and or it was taught to us, maybe, you know, in our society. And that is not the truth. And so it's awakening to the truth that we are, you know, we are many. We are one. We are, you know, part of the divine creation. And the divine lives within us. So once we come to understand that, and it's the ego that keeps us separated by speaking to us in these terms of unworthiness, you know, who do you think you are? Why would you think you're worthy, you know, of this? But the divinity is there. We are divine. We just need to
tap into it.
Yes.
So now how do you do that? So you have this process. What exactly then is the process that you are sharing without divulging everything? Then how do you find the balance between ego and spiritualism and spirituality?
Well, we talk about the path of the journey is moving forward from ego unconsciousness to ego consciousness. Mm-hmm. This is when you become aware of your what ego is, number one. You just kind of understand it more broadly, which is something we discuss in both of the books we've written, as well as tuning into your specific egoic energy and seeing more of what it looks like. And what we do is we talk about the 10 key life areas like relationships, adversity, change, conflict, self-esteem, which is the relationship you have with yourself. These are the places you can find that your way of being egoically, that egoic energy at work, because you have to have a sense of where you're at before you can move into the, well, what do I have to fix? What do I have to change? Am I wrestling with power stuff? Or am I wrestling with ego flexibility stuff? Am I wrestling with ego vulnerability stuff? Because I think the problem in the past for many people is they had this generic interpretation and explanation and discussion of ego. And in some cases, I think people, when they hear the word ego and it described, they say, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not trying to rule the world. I'm not trying to change the world and dominate the world. So they would think maybe I don't have an ego problem because if ego is about that, that's not my issue. But they may have issues of vulnerability where they live with a lot of fear, as Linda was referring to. And they may have a very small ego. They're just kind of living their life by distancing themselves from it, hiding from it. But there's mainly there's a lot of fear that's what they need to work on. So part of that initial transition from ego unconscious to ego consciousness is basically understanding what ego is, which we discuss very intensely, but also tuning into one's ego. And as we begin to tune in and see our ego, we talk about non-reality-based thinking that people often get caught up in, that they don't realize they're thinking, they're using and employing, and perhaps even believe that this is reality-based thinking when they're truly not. For example, in relationships, if a person has a higher ego power, they might think the objective in the relationship when choices have to be made is we have to do the absolute right thing. We have to do the very right thing. And sometimes with their partner's version of right is different than their version of right. but they don't know how to compromise with that. They think the objective is to do the absolute right thing according to them. They don't realize they're actually harming the relationship because they're not respecting and honoring their other partner's ego. And so we discover and we understand what our ego is, and we tune into our ego, and then we start to employ something we call mental medicine, which is really basically understanding your ego and also the non-reality-based thinking you are caught up in. And we give lots of examples of that according to the power vulnerability or flexibility issues, because not everybody thinks the same stuff. But they maybe think lots of things that are out of alignment, they're out of balance, and they tune into it, and they begin to see it. And as you begin to like step out of yourself and see what you're doing, you become more able to be in a position of saying, oh, I think that's what I need to work on modifying or changing. And I'm going to let Linda go forward with the spiritual side of this thing a little bit more.
Okay.
Well, I think many people, you know, they think what they, when they are thinking things, when they have beliefs, they think this is what I should think. This is what I'm supposed to think. You know, this is the right thing to think, whether it feels right within them or not. You know, and the hard part I find with many people is they have trouble trusting themselves, trusting the
truth.
That's
so true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's there within them. We all have the wisdom within us, but you know, we've been taught that we don't. We've been taught that it comes from an outside source. And again, it's awakening to this truth that wisdom is there within us. And so it's helping people to move through the healing process and to be honest with themselves. Now, that's what a lot of people do not want to do. They don't want to look in that mirror to see what it is they need to see, you know, to look and see what are these things that are limiting me that I'm holding within myself. What are these beliefs maybe that I'm holding within myself that's preventing me from looking at the truth and the wisdom that I carry within me?
Well, because it's so much easier to blame outside sources. It's so
exactly.
much easier to say, God, why did you make this happen? Or, you know, that person did this to me and they upset me. And if they had said it this way, I wouldn't be like this. And if they had done this to me, I wouldn't be doing this now. And it's so easy. And I guess that's probably an ego thing. It's so easy to find outside blame instead of, you know, saying, everything that I'm experiencing, I'm experiencing because I am the cause of it, and everything on the outside is the effect of it. So it's hard to accept responsibility for our life when we don't like what we're looking at.
Exactly. You've said a mouthful there, and it's very, very true.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting the way you put that. It kind of comes at the very end of this book. We talk about something called the big lesson. And we talk about the big lesson is really when we look out at the world, we're always supposed to look out at the world to learn more about ourselves, to see what's really going on inside of ourselves. And unless people get caught up with the idea, well, I need to change the world and make it different, when really all that's happening out there, the experiences, the events and all that stuff is really an opportunity. It's a classroom. And that classroom is really attempting to help you get to know who you are, who God is, and
yes.
the four great gifts that you have been given. In this journey to ego spiritualism, we talk about God being love, life, energy, and you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that you can really become in tune with as you get closer egoically to being in balance. We also talk about four great gifts, the gift of your life, and how oftentimes people, because of egoic issues, really can't appreciate the life that they have.
Amen. Okay. I just have to say that because in my practice, that's exactly the issue with so many people. It's like the world sucks, the world is broken, and if it would only have this happen, then I could live a better life. And it's like, how do you get people to realize that your life is perfect as it is? Mm-hmm. Be thankful for what you're experiencing because it is what's causing you to expand. Find the blessing in that expansion and then start to recreate yourself. But again, you're really going back to ego. It really is all about your ego personality
right.
and how you look at everything then that's around you and coming to you.
Exactly.
God, that's really important then.
And when you can focus on one little blessing in your life and feel gratitude and allow that gratitude to begin to build, then you can start to change your life and you can start to, you know, allow yourself to come into a place of balance to some degree. And, mm-hmm. you know, the gratitude can help, you know, drive you in the right direction.
Wow. So now...
I was just going to finish up what we were talking about. I mentioned these four great gifts. And
okay.
Aside from the fact that our life is a gift, we also, when our ego is out of the way, we begin to realize we have the gift of creating life, not only in the ability to create a human life, but also in the ability to create the life we want to live in, that we
yes.
have the power to use our mind to create the experiences and the opportunities that are available. But when our ego is getting in the way, it kind of takes us away from the awareness of that gift. We sometimes feel like we're trapped, we're stuck, nothing can really change. But
mm-hmm.
in fact, you have been empowered. We have all been empowered to do that, to make things work in ways that we would think that what's available with the abundance that's out there for us to do that.
And that is key for everyone listening who... You know, they feel like they are hopeless and they don't have power. You have to realize that you truly are the creator of your experience. And when you can come into alignment with and really balance that ego part that says you're not worthy and find that you are worthy, you can, through your thoughts, your feelings, and your vibrations, begin to make real change in every experience that you have.
Exactly.
It's just so important that we really, really, really get this. I can't hit home enough on how important it is.
This is part of our evolutionary path, you know, and mm-hmm. understanding who we are. We are creators. We are divine beings, and we are here in this physical existence. And because we have the physical body, you know, we have many aspects to us, and the ego is part of that. And it's coming to understand that we don't have to just live from an unconscious ego. We can come to know it, come to know who we are and all the aspects of who we are, you know, the mental, emotional self of who we are, and allow all these things to heal and come into a place of balance so that we can fully merge with our divinity, because that is part of our evolutionary path.
Exactly. Now, do you have any foundational practices that, regardless of what ego personality you are, would you know you have to have the foundation? You know, for me, I'm always talking about meditation. Meditation really allows you to connect to your higher self, and it allows you to see who you really are, and it begins to allow ego to, you know, move in the direction it needs to move, and your higher self to start to begin to take over who you are.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, because I teach meditation. I use meditation. I, you know, encourage my clients to use meditation. I have meditation CDs I give away if you join my email list. But,
there you go. Well, why don't you give out your email, how they can connect with you while we're right here.
Well, to get your free CD, my website is lindammartin.net, and just go to my website and sign up, and you know, you'll get your free CD. Our website for our book is egoandspirituality.com, and there you can learn more about the message that Nick and I are putting forth in the book that we have written, Ego and Spirituality, The Consciousness of Ego Spiritualism. So, you know, by going to those websites, you can learn a bit more about who we are and the work that we do.
Okay, so now I figured out what my ego personality is. I'm working through it. What would you tell me to do based on, you know, whatever my ego personality is? Are you going to give me specific tools to embrace, or?
I think what we talk about something referred to as mental medicine, and basically it's reality-based thinking.
Okay.
What happens is, as your ego is coming into balance, you're beginning to see the difference between what you were thinking and what you are thinking. And the byproduct of that is things are changing in your life. You're dealing with relationships differently and in oftentimes healthier ways. Your relationship with yourself is becoming a better relationship. In fact, it's probably the most important relationship So I guess part of the answer I'm giving you is that you see the changes happening in your life. But to get to those changes, it fundamentally is just becoming aware of your ego as you're living it, and how you're living it is very fundamental to this whole process. If you don't see it, and you're not working with it to manage it, then it's going to manage you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the more we step out of balance, the more our ego is out of balance, the more it's managing us, but we don't see it. So foundationally, from my vantage point, it's about just understand what ego really is. And that's what we describe, and we talk about it being the core essence of our humanity, and it's the conduit through which our life is flowing. But you begin to see it through the mirrors. You begin to see the energy of yourself being lived through those mirrors. And then the other part is reality-based thinking. It's just really understanding what does reality-based thinking mean. And fundamentally, many people, there's a contrast between belief and truth. They think that what they believe often is truth, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just belief. It's their particular belief. And they don't realize that distance they are from truth. As we move closer to being egoically in balance in the human sense, more of that truth, even in the human sense, comes forward, as well as the divine truth that surrounds us, the notions of understanding who God is within ourselves and around us and all those other things we mentioned earlier. But it's really foundational is the ability to understand that what I believe sometimes isn't what's true, but I'm believing it and I'm treating it as if it were true. As we become really good, I want to call it that, at understanding that difference, and we don't just walk through life unquestioning, and we should be questioning if things in our life aren't going as well as we would like them to go, then it's usually that we are doing something or our ego is leading us into something that we aren't aware of. And so we need to tune in. What am I thinking? What's not
Absolutely.
Working in the way I'm handling this? And by the way, everybody, we think everybody is a good, intelligent, well-meaning person, that's at the core of who they are, but they're
mm-hmm.
living at a distance from that person because their ego has pulled them away from it in terms of how its energy is working into their life. And so foundationally, it's understanding what ego is, understanding what reality-based thinking is, having a healthy respect for what you really don't know or fully understand, and searching for truth rather than just resting upon belief, a belief that may be affecting you in destructive ways in those areas we mentioned earlier.
Perfect. You know, that just makes so much sense, because I know a lot of times, you know, you'll have two people in a conversation and are they even listening to each other? And then you'll ask them to go back and say, okay, what did they say? And they'll have a completely, totally different. And so your reality may not be my reality, and we're in the same conversation. It's not actuality. And so it's so important that we really begin to, if we can't communicate with another, with ourselves, we certainly can't communicate with another person. And so we're getting and giving ourselves mixed signals. So how on earth can we make anything else happen around us? So it really is important to understand then our perception of something, and is it actuality, is it reality, or is it just my illusion?
Exactly.
Well, that's something we've all been guilty of, so mm-hmm. I want to make sure the audience understands we've seen it in ourselves, in fact, as much as anybody. It's been kind of fun in a way to discover, you know, how much of an idiot I've been at different times, but ultimately, when you move beyond that and you begin to see what you weren't seeing, and it's changing things, and it becomes a much more wonderful experience being either in the human sense of things or in the spiritual sense of things.
You know, I was having that, I was Skyping someone earlier today, and it was the same message I was sharing, that, look, the reason why we get to be on a platform and share as an expert is because we had to experience it mm-hmm. first. And we went through it, and guess what? We grew from it, because that's what it was all about, the expansion, chaos to bring us into harmony so that we can now share this message with you, because guess what? We've been there, done that. And so
exactly.
It's like, you know, it's through that expansion, we grew, and now we can share. And so really, whatever you're experiencing, understand that there is a an end to it. There's a bright side on the other side of it. You just really, these are tools to allow you to move through with more grace and ease, and you'll still get the lessons from it, but it doesn't have to be so darn hard.
Right. And the more we move through it, the more we awaken, you know, we start to see more clearly. And then when these tests and challenges, you know, may come our way in our life, we see it as an opportunity to grow, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, the drudgery of, oh, gosh, why is this happening to me? Because we begin with that understanding. Why is this happening to me? We begin in victim mode. And once we start moving through that process, then, you know, we start to see, okay, I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim of this life. I can be a participant in this life. I can take responsibility for me. And then we start to see the other things that may come our way as opportunities to grow and to learn and to be even more, to be all that we were created to be.
To be.
And we just develop a whole new outlook then.
Yes, absolutely. And I couldn't have said it better, because that is so, so, it's, for me, that means everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. So now you have this second book. What about this do you think is better or different in this work?
Well, I think this work, the first work, was really very heavily about ego, because it really was intended to look very deeply at this ego unconsciousness that we believe most people are living, and to get into more precise and defined ways. In fact, chapter 5 talks about 125 different ego types and their shape,
wow.
the nature of the well, ego is diverse, and that's what we were getting away from, that simplistic, generic, often abstract way of talking about it that led people not really knowing what it was. As I think I've said at times, if you asked 100 people to define ego, you would probably get 100 definitions, and there would be a lack of consensus. And even if you asked professionals, you probably would have that same reaction. Imagine you did that with a heart surgeon or with a mechanic, and they had the same, you know, an engine, and they were talking about that engine. They would probably be able to have a conversation about that entity that was consensual. They knew what they were talking about, and they could understand each of it and how to work with it, how to fix it, how to repair it, whether it's a heart or it's an engine. But when it comes to ego, and I believe ego is at the core of a lot of what the work we do as psychologists or mental health professionals, if we're thinking about it in different ways and there's no consensus, it's very hard for anybody to really work and heal this very core entity of who a person is. And so that particular book, you know, in some ways it's like the devil within our midst, you know, in our being, because it really is at work to maybe make our life a darker place than it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
The next book was really an effort to kind of talk about the mixture of those two energies, ego and spirituality, and to talk about this consciousness experience called ego spiritualism that reflected, well, okay, so you're moving beyond ego unconsciousness and becoming ego conscious. Does it stop there? And the answer is no. It moves forward into the next stage of consciousness, which it reflects that awakening that occurs both egoically and spiritually.
And I think the second book also I felt was really important, because the more I read about ego and, you know, what many writers and leaders and teachers have said about the ego, it made me feel that we're saying something negative about who we are as human beings, you know, and how can we then move into a place of feeling worthy if we're walking around feeling, you know, that we have this negative entity within us and we don't know what to do about it. Okay, overcome it, but how, you know, how can I do that?
So and it's so, not something that you have to overcome, because ego isn't a bad thing.
Exactly. But that was the message that I was perceiving, you know, by many things that I had read. And so it's coming to understand, okay, you are a human being, and that is something to honor. And within your humanness, you have an ego. And it may be out of balance, but that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. That means the more you learn about it, the more you can assist it, and the more you can help it to come into a place of balance, the more you can understand it and allow it to work with you. Because we all need, you know, we can teach our ego. We can teach it. We can talk to it and help it learn how to become our friend and how to be a driving force. I mean, you think of the ego, you know, and what it can do. It can be a driving force for us as humans to do the divine work we came here to do.
Just one added point I would make regarding ego is that we believe that ego really is trying to help us, but it doesn't really, because it's helping us try to survive. Its work, its energy is about, but it doesn't understand itself. It doesn't understand that sometimes this energy is being employed in ways that are often destructive, not constructive, in the effort to help us survive. And as that's what our part in this process is, which is in effect to kind of teach it through our understanding of it, through our employment of mental medicine, through the power of our mind, to transform it into this positive, powerful, yet powerful entity that can complement our divinity. And that when we've done that, that's when we've gotten into this place of ego spiritualism.
Perfect. And that's a wonderful way to end this hour, because ego does have a place within us. It's nothing that's bad. So we can find balance, and it helps us to then live our life more fully. Then you would say it helps us, it guides us, and it makes sure that we survive. It makes sure that we exist. It takes care of us. So it's sort of like our little cheerleader saying, okay, let's get this done today. And it's the ego, when it's healthy and in balance, can move us forward then to produce, to live more fully. Okay.
Yeah, we need it helps us in our life, but it can be harmful or it can be helpful. We transform from something that's our enemy or being harmful into something that's our friend and helpful.
Makes perfect sense to me. So ego is a good thing when in balance. And boy, your work sounds absolutely fascinating. So once again, it's egoandspirituality.com. Your book's also on Amazon. Where else can they find it?
Yes, you can get it on Amazon.com. You can get it at BarnesandNoble.com and BalboaPress.com.
Perfect. And so lindamartin.com is your website.
Linda and M. Martin. My middle initial is M. So it's lindammartin.net is my website for my healing ministry, which is Dove of Light Healing Ministry.
Okay. Perfect. I want to thank you for taking the time out to speak with me today. This was just absolutely wonderful. And I know it shed light on a lot of people. Hopefully the person I was speaking with earlier today was listening, because, you know, so many things actually come from an imbalanced ego. And boy, does that just make complete sense. So thank you, Doctor and Dr.
Martin. Thank you for the opportunity and the opportunity, the honor that you've given to us to be on your program today.
Thank you. We'll have to do this again, because there really is a lot going on with ego. And maybe we could examine some of the more popular, if there's such a thing, the more popular ego personalities. You know, maybe the five top ego personalities.
Sure.
and really examine them and break it down, how they are truly impacting us in a negative way and how we can get back on board. That's so
yes,
cool. Okay.
Definitely. There's a lot to talk about there. That's for sure. Thank you so much, Avij. We really enjoyed this time with you.
Thank you, and take care. Be blessed.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so there you have it, another fascinating episode of Affirmations for Living. I want to remind you to go to my website, affirmationsforliving.net, to connect with me on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter. And, of course, you know that I have the app Awakened. So until next time, be safe, be blessed, and know that ego has a balance and that it does have a place with all of where we're moving, our spirituality, and it does work well for us to be in tuned, tapped in, and turned on. Be safe. Take care. Till next time.